Hey friends, thanks for listening to the LifeScan Learning Lab edition of the Get Balanced podcast with me, Dr. Donnie, and my co-host, Chief Todd LeDuc, episode 129.
Welcome to the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
All right, we are off to another great show here with my co-host, Chief Todd LeDuc, and I'm going to kick it right over to you, Todd, and for you to introduce our guest today.
Hey, Donnie, thanks. It's great to be back with you again, taping what I know is going to be another insightful, fun, and educational, and positive dialogue today. And we've got a special guest, and I'm going to let him tell you a little bit about his background. But I want to welcome Gary Kirchbaum onto the podcast. Gary, thanks for taking time out of your schedule. I know you're busy and on the road traveling often, and thanks for making the time to spend a little dialogue with Donnie and myself and our listeners.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Todd. Thank you very much for having me. And Donnie, as I said, it's very nice meeting you for the first time. So
absolutely.
Chief, why don't you start, as I mentioned before we started recording, and I want to thank all of our loyal listeners out there. We have listeners from all over the United States, but we also, Donnie reminds me, frequently have international listeners as well. So for folks that may not be familiar with your background, why don't you start by just introducing kind of your journey into the fire service. I know you spent some time, a good amount of time in the fire service, and now you've transitioned into a new role with the First Responder Center of Excellence. So why don't you talk a little bit about how you get into the business and where that's led you today?
Sure. So I started actually as a volunteer in my local community back in the late 80s, just coming out of high school. Much like an 18, 19-year-old kid, I was looking for a direction, and my goodness, did I find some. So, as I tell everybody, I started that organization called the Wheaton Volunteer Rescue Squads right outside of Washington, D.C. in Maryland, and that completely changed my life. And I still reap the benefits from making that decision today. So I was lucky enough to work for a private corporation, independent corporation, in the same county that I was volunteering in. So I did that for 4 years. And then I was so fortunate to be hired with the Prince George's County Fire and EMS Department. It's a large combination system right outside of Washington, D.C. Depending on which Firehouse Magazine edition you look at, we're either 13th or 15th busiest in the nation. So we average anywhere between about 130, 150,000 calls a year, serving about a million people plus during the day. We had a lot of federal facilities in our area because we are a suburb of Washington, D.C. So I spent 26 years there, retired as an assistant fire chief. I had a lot of great assignments, including the chief of training, and I was lucky enough to spend some years redesigning and building firehouses, and just really had a great career. And then the sun keeps shining on me because I retired in 2020. End of last year, at FEMA brought me on to the First Responder Center for Excellence. And how lucky am I to have two great careers that I still haven't worked a day in my life. So, that's kind of what got me here. I'm also very involved with the Fallen Firefighters Foundation. Spent many years working with them in the volunteer positions in one way or another, whether it was stair climb fundraisers or just working with them on other projects. And then I am also the deputy incident commander for the Memorial Weekend in Emmitsburg every year. So I've been doing that. I've been involved behind the scenes with the memorial for about 16 years. And like I said, the good things keep coming my way. So very fortunate.
You've had a tremendous career and spanned over multiple levels of service. And you mentioned National Fallen Firefighters. You know, we've been fortunate to have Ron Sarnicki on as a guest, and you know, the great work that they do up there, not only on their core mission, which is, you know, honoring and taking care of the families of the fallen, but kind of, I want to maybe just do a deep dive and get right into your new position, the First Responder Center of Excellence. I know that's kind of a little bit of a spinoff, I think, of the National Fallen Firefighters mission. I've been fortunate to be blessed to serve with some great folks on one of the advisory boards for it. So, you know, I know the great work that it does, but some of our listeners that are out there may not be familiar with what is the First Responder Center of Excellence and what its mission is, and some of the resources that are available. And why don't you just talk a little bit about what the mission is, and how, if one of our listeners is in a department and, you know, is looking to enhance their health and wellness initiatives and prevent line of duty deaths, what the foundation in the Center of Excellence brings to the table.
Sure. So the First Responder Center for Excellence actually was created in 2016 by the board of directors of the Fallen Firefighters Foundation. So we're an affiliate organization of the NFFF. And a broad brush, simplified mission is we address health and wellness in the fire service. We focus on five subject areas, include cardiac, cancer, promoting NFPA physicals, health and wellness to include fitness and nutrition, and behavioral health. The foundation realized, two things. One, the awareness of health and wellness kind of exploded during that time period, and there was a lot of programs that were starting to be developed and needed to be developed. So they recognized this was a little bit larger endeavor than, you know, kind of what they were prepared to handle. And then two, as the name indicates, it is first responders. So we can reach out to other first responder agencies. So police, we do, you know, fire, we do EMS. We work with the dispatch community. So we're a little bit more well-rounded and be able to reach those other agencies. And we provide education, we provide awareness programs, you know, thanks to our partners with FEMA and the AFG, we're able to participate in research projects. And, you know, our goal, Chief, is, and this is my mantra, is I spend a lot of years watching names go on plaques and on walls in Emmitsburg. And really my mission is to keep people's names off that wall. So, that's a little bit about us. We are relatively new. We're making traction, getting our name out there. And it's because of good partners, you know, like yourself and all the committee members that we have that are providing excellent direction for us and assistance that we're able to make the strides that we have. And, you know, kudos to the Fallen Firefighters Foundation for realizing that, you know, there was a need outside of the fire service and the need to expand these types of programs. And, you know, you mentioned Ron Sarnicki, and I can't ever say enough about, you know, Chief Sarnicki. He truly has made an impact on the fire service. And although we're not where we want to be, we are so much further along, all because of his direction, his vision, and his effort. So,
yeah, certainly a legacy in the fire service, and I think actually that's how I became involved with the First Responder Center of Excellence. Is a breakfast meeting with Chief Sarnicki down at VCOS in Clearwater. He shared, you know, the kind of the vision of the First Responder Center and some of the work the IFC was doing at the time, particularly on physicals, and just kind of partnering and using that kind of synergy between both entities to do great things. And as you said, I think that's, you know, preventing some of these, you know, I'm sure you read the NIOSH reports like I do, and our listeners out there read them. You know, and I'll even say in my own department, you know, at Broward County, Florida, about 800 folks, you know, I'm sure I've actually been to PG with Chief Green, took a tour of the building. I'm sure you all have it somewhere as well. But in Broward, we had the pictures of each of our fallen members of the department. And when I reflected on each one, I knew, I think, all but one of them in my 30 years of service, likely through, you know, preventative activities, whether that's physicals or behavioral health resources or some of the cardiac research now that's being done on enhanced screenings, probably could have been prevented. And in hindsight, you know, I think that's what drives a lot of us, you know, to focus on that prevention piece. I know at LifeScan, you know, that's our singular mission, is to make early detection a component of survival, that if we can find, whether it's cancer or cardiac issues early, they can be addressed, and the survivability is fantastic, and they can go on to have a long career and hopefully enjoy a long retirement, you know, for their service. So hopefully Chief Sarnicki is listening to this episode, and thanks for the legacy that he's put in play, and thanks, Chief, for stepping up and continuing the work of the center.
Oh, thank you. And again, you know, it's people, you know, like you, who is a champion of preventing names going on the wall. And I totally agree with you, Todd. You know, a lot of this is, you know, we don't know what we don't know. And sometimes we choose not to know on purpose. And, you know, and I'm sure you, you know, definitely can relate to how many people have had issues that made a comment of, I wish I would have known earlier. So, you know, it's a great time, I think, to be in the fire service. I think we've come a long way with the messaging, and then, you know, with the works that, you know, the research world is doing, that, you know, that UL and, you know, Denise Smith and, you know, Sarah Jenkins, and, you know, run down the list, Jeff Burgess, you know, all the researchers that are really the unsung heroes in this endeavor, and don't get enough credit. But, you know, I think it's a good time to be in the fire service. And I think the impact, you know, you and I may not see it, you know, as much, but the impact, I think, is going to be long lasting. So.
Yeah, that's great. Great point. You know, we've had Chief Bruce Varner on as well as a guest, and you know, he talked about from his perspective, starting out with Bruno out in Chief Brunicini out in Phoenix back in, I think, Donnie, if I'm not mistaken, I think he was talking like 1974 yes, when he started his career. And then, so he looked back as to where health and wellness and safety was when he started. And I think he told Donnie from his perspective today, you know, continuing to be involved with the fire service, past president of the Institute for Fire Engineers, he seemed to think we've come forward about 75%. And whether that's, you know, spot on or his perspective, you know, it tells me that we still have work to do. But like you said, I'm sure you remember the same things I do. I mean, doing a health and wellness and safety conference pitch, you know, 15 years ago, there would have been one person in the room. You know, today it's packed, standing room only. And I agree with you on the research front. I mean, if it wasn't for the talent and really the passion and drive as well for all the names you mentioned, you mentioned we don't know what we don't know. And through that research and science, we're kind of creating that path on what we need to focus in terms of prevention. I want to ask you for our listeners, because I know doing a deep dive over the last however long, that you all have developed a lot of resources. I know you do on-site awareness training and courses. I know there's lots of documents and research available. What's the best way for one of our listeners, if they want to access all the good work that's being done at FRCE, how do they go about doing that?
So the best place is, you know, going to the website, you know, www.firstrespondercenter.org. There's a vast amount of information and resources that can be found there. There's information if you're, you know, anywhere from if you're working on a research paper and need reference to your subject, to toolkits that can help implement NFPA style physicals. One of our signature programs is our stress first aid. We do have an online version as well as you can request in person. Stress first aid, which is a very popular program, helping the peers understand, recognize, and giving them just some initial direction on how to help your fellow coworkers when you do recognize that something's wrong. It's not meant to make anybody a counselor. It's just to give you the basic steps of knowing, you know, when to just, you know, sit and talk with them and then maybe elevate that, you know, a little bit. So it kind of gives you a roadmap, if you will, to follow that. We do offer seminars throughout the country. We have a couple of cancer-related seminars coming up, one in New York and one here in Maryland. We're finishing up next week down in Raleigh, North Carolina, a series of health and wellness seminars where we've taken four different subjects and combined them, more of a holistic approach to health and wellness instead of treating everything like it's in a silo. Great feedback on that, where people can just come for one day and touch on, you know, four different subjects related to health and wellness. Plus, they're all interconnected. And it's really fascinating to see how that came together and how much connection each one of those subjects that we talk about, you know, cancer, behavioral health, nutrition, cardiac, you know, that they're all interrelated. And that's the lens that we need to look at this through, is it's not just preventing cancer. It's, you know, there's other things that go into it. So we're busy. We have, you know, things going on all over the nation. And, you know, again, I'm very lucky. I've been traveling around the country, much like you, and, you know, just meeting some fantastic folks in the fire service. So,
yeah, I'll tell you, I love what I'm hearing on that. As Todd knows, is that, as Gary, we don't know each other, but my work has been with the work-life balance. The models out of my research have come out to where we, you know, it was called self-care, right? And the, you know, how we take care of ourselves, our physical health, mental, social, and spiritual health. When people do that, it seems like their careers and their families, they're successful and effective in both of those areas, because they're taking, they put this health and wellness as a foundation. Like, this is what you jump off of. This is how you go and be very successful in these two great areas of our lives, our families and our career. So I'd like to get your thoughts on what do you, when it comes to that holistic approach, and I love that word and the whole meaning of it, where do you see the first responder family fitting in? You know, when I talk about work-life balance, you know, sometimes people say, oh, we never have any balance, but you know, families are so important, right? Because we know if our family's not doing well, and as we know, divorce rates are high with first responders and everything else like that. So we know that when there's stress at home, you know, it's hard not to bring that stress to work and vice versa, obviously. So any thoughts on that about, do you see any maybe some focusing on the families as well in this holistic approach, I guess would be my question.
Yeah, and that's a great point, Donnie. You know, one of the items that I think gets overlooked quite often is that stress, right? That stressor, and you know, I think, and you even know more than I would, you know, a lot of the stress, there's a lot of stress in the department and in the fire service in general. And we kind of focus on that. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're still just people and we have our own stress in our own lives, especially, you know, the volunteer communities where they're not doing this full time. You know, they're helping out their communities, you know, on an as needed basis. And they still have a whole other life. They have a workplace. They have a family, as you indicated. And, you know, I know from my experience, and I think any experience that's, you know, anybody that's ever had a family, how much stress that is just on a day-to-day basis. So I think that's a great point. And that's one of the ideas or visions that's kind of circling in my head. You know, when we talk about the holistic approach is, you know, what is all the contributing factors, not just cancer, not just PTSD, what are all the contributing factors? And then let's start kind of putting that into, you know, one mixing bowl and trying to figure out how we can, you know, make a recipe out of that to provide that. Because I, you know, I agree with you, and every firefighter will tell you the same thing. You know, the work-life balance stinks. You know, I spent many years that it was, you know, fire service. And, even to today, you know, I'm not immune from it. You know, the balance is still not there. So I think it's important because we got to realize there's other things besides the fire service that's affecting the fire service personnel in negative ways. So great point.
Yeah. And, you know, we call it spillover, right? It's what we do in one role in our life spills over into other roles. It's either positive or negative. And that's where, like, you know, as you got with the preventive health, if we take care of our diet, our exercise, our hydration, you know, we know if we do that, it's going to positively spill over in the day-to-day operations. Right. And if we don't, that was the first part of this podcast you were talking about. It spills over in a negative way. And yes. I think that's a big part of that recipe is the education of helping folks identify all these positive spillovers they have in their lives and how to make more of that. And then I help them identify their negative and say, how do we shrink that up and mitigate it some?
And that's a great mindset because, you know, the fire service, you know, just kind of by the nature of the beast is it's a negative environment. We see a lot of bad things and things that really, you know, people aren't really equipped to see and handle and deal with. But as you said, we don't focus a lot on the positive. You know, what are we doing well? How do we celebrate our successes? And how do we do more of that instead of less of something else? So.
Yeah,
you know, great points. I definitely would love to talk to you more about this subject because I see it really having an impact on what we're trying to do.
Absolutely. Would love to. I imagine Todd's got a question or two left in him.
Yeah, you know, I think and that's a great, you know, dialogue. We talk all the time about the whole package, right? And then looking at the whole, you know, a holistic approach and sort of like doing a 360 of a scene, you know, doing a 360 of our lives. Great dialogue. Gary, I want to be mindful time-wise. So, and I know between Donnie and myself, we'll look to corral you again and have you back on for podcast 2.0. And I want to apologize in advance because usually I throw this question out there before we start taping, but you've been a chief in a busy urban department. I know this will resonate to you as soon as you hear it. You know, with all your career experience that spanned, you know, diverse, you mentioned, you know, volunteer, you've mentioned private sector, you're now working for the foundation, you were executive chief in a large combination, busy department. And even personally, you know, with the dialogue that we just talked about, if you had to pick, and I know it's difficult to pick one, but if you had to pick one pearl piece of wisdom for those coming up behind in any of those life experiences you have, had, what would that be for our listeners out there?
So I think for me, kind of looking back, I took advantage of every opportunity that was presented to me. And sometimes I didn't really want to do or take advantage of the opportunity, but I took advantage of the opportunity. And, you know, as I look back now, you know, I'm so glad that I did. The most important part for me over the years was learning how to build relationships. And anybody that's aspiring to move up as a chief officer has to learn how to do that and value that. You know, I still talk to people that, you know, I developed relationships early in my career and you know, still keep in touch with them. And, you know, I help them as much as I can. They help me as much as I, you know, as they can. And, you know, without developing relationships, you're just, I just don't see how somebody can be successful. You can't do it in the vacuum. You can't do it on your own. You know, it's a team environment. It's a team game. And, you know, to learn how to build relationships, how to value your personnel. That was a lesson that took me a little while. And I think every new officer coming up through, it takes them a little while to really value people. You know, get to know your folks, you know, get to know the people that you're working with, get to know their families. People respond to, I think, to the leadership of people that care. If they feel that you care about them, they'll go that extra distance for you. So, you know, those are just a couple of things that, you know, I kind of share with people kind of moving up and things that I learned that helped me along the way.
That's some great wisdom there for our listeners. Regardless of where you are in your career journey, right? It's all about relationships. And I was fortunate in my career fairly early on to have a wise mentor who was chief of department pull me aside. And if I had one lesson I learned from him that I'll never forget is, you know, it's all about people, you know, and people aren't things, you know, it's how you treat people. Great advice for our listeners out there. I hope our listeners found a lot of insight in the dialogue we had today. Check out some of those resources that Gary mentioned that are available to you and your departments at the First Responder Center of Excellence. I put a plug in, which I do always for LifeScan Wellness Centers. We actually have on our website, under resources and toolbox, we have the First Responder Center of Excellence linked. So you can go on if you're on our site and quickly access the great resources that they have. Gary, I want to thank you for your time today and the work that you have done and continue to do in your career to make the fire service a little bit healthier and a little bit safer than probably when both of us started. So we'll look to have you back on and tell Ed and Ron we said hi. And thanks for all you do.
Thank you. Thank you, Donnie and Todd, for everything that you're doing for the fire service.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Take care.
Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.